Praise God. Well, we're going to go over teaching this morning. You'll see on the in the bulletin I put down the integrity of the Word of God. Really, it has to do with what we've been talking about, which was titled Above All Things. But I put that on. I wanted to emphasize that because something the Lord spoke to me about the integrity of the Word of God, and He just laid some things out with me. I had those scriptures in before that I was going to use, and then the Lord had me go over with this some things that He wanted to have me teach. But really is in line, so you'll see the scriptures that are in our bulletin, the same ones were in last Sunday. We didn't go over into that, and we talked about the prophecy of Kenneth Hagin. But one of the things we want to look at the integrity of God's Word. And in looking at the integrity of God's Word, we founded this teaching series that we have done so far on here. It was founded on 3 John, the second verse, where from the King James Version, it says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. He said, I wish above all things. And actually, in reality of that, he would be saying, I pray above all things. I pray above everything. So, and above everything, this is what I'm praying, above all things. When the Lord spoke to me about this, the one day, it was early in the morning, and He spoke to me and said, spoke this scripture to me. And then said, and actually He spoke about it from the King James Version. The scripture came to me, and I knew when He quoted it, I knew it was from the King James. And He quoted it to me. See, God will talk to King James too, you know? Hallelujah. There's certain things He wants to do. Sometimes the Lord will speak to me in certain different ways. Some I've had the Lord speak to me already that I've read under another translation. And He spoke to me out of that, from that translation, because He wanted to say something that translation said in a way, and He knew what it would key in me. So He spoke to me that from the King James. And then He began to tell me, and He said, and above all things, and He told me to minister a message called Above All Things. And really, I went from Sunday to Sunday not knowing what I was going to teach till that week, and then the Lord would show me something of what He wanted, because I had a lot of good ideas. And I mean, there were good ideas of teaching certain things, but the Lord would give me certain things as we go along. But one of the things is dealing with the integrity of God's Word. Above all things, He wants us to prosper and be in health. He says, as our soul prospers. In other words, in our souls, in other words, the changing, the way we think, the renewing of our mind. In other words, we have to change the way we think. You'll never prosper and be in health unless you change your thinking in line with God's thinking. And we get in line with the way God thinks. We have to get the same thinking and put it on. You know, there's a lot of things being said. It's one of the things is the life that's in the Word. If you hook up and get the thinking of the Word, you'll get life in your mind. You'll get life in the way that you think. You know, a lot of people have a lot of death in the way that they think. You know, did you ever run into people that are always gravitated toward the negative in things, the bad thing that's what happened, they're always gravitated toward that? Boy, I don't like to be around people like that. They're always gravitated with everything going bad. It ain't going to go bad. Hallelujah. There's a lot of bad things going on, but we got to do what's right. And if we do it right, we can be happy. We don't have to be sad, run down, worried, or anything like that. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to say, because the Lord talked to me about the integrity of His Word. He spoke to me about this. And so I began to, you know, to look at some things concerning scriptures and stuff that that He had talked to me about. But one of the things that, you know, we have here, with John speaking to Gaius, and we believe this is by the Holy Spirit, because we take these and made a Bible out of them, and we call this the Word of God, don't we? This is the Word of God. Well, or was this John just, you know, talking, being a nice guy? But if there must be a way, a sure way to prosper and be in health, there must be a sure way to do that John made the statement to him. If there wasn't a way to do it, then this is just a nice introduction in a letter. You know, last time, remember, most of you probably don't write letters anymore. Does anybody here write letters anymore? I do. I mean, I have to some business and sometimes and people I have to write a letter to, and I write a letter and I type them out. And you know, a lot of times I found, you're like, over the years, a lot of people, you know, say, you know, I hope this finds you well and your family doing well. They say things like that. That is just an introductory thing, but you know, whether people really mean that or not, lots of times there's niceties that people throw into things. And you know, I want you to understand this. Most people, the Christians that read the Bible, do it in exactly the same way. This is just a nice inner. He's being nice to Gaius. He's just saying something nice, you know. I want you to prosper and be in health. Now let's get down to the real stuff I want to talk about. Well, I don't believe it's that way. You know, most people carry what he says in that second verse no more than, you know, in Star Trek. You remember Mr. Spock, you know, and he used to go, I can't do it. My fingers don't do what his does, you know. But he had, live long and prosper. He used to say that after him and he'd depart, you know, to leave, and he'd live long and prosper. And you know what that meant? Nothing. That was just a night departure thing, because he didn't say it was ever going to work or was going to happen or it could happen. It was just a nice, I sure hope that works out for you. In other words, I hope things turn out okay for you. God has not sent letters like that. It ain't like Mr. Spock. Live long and prosper, and the guy leaves and dies. Well, it didn't work. That's not what this is. And this is why we're dealing with the integrity of God's Word. We can have all kind of nice niceties and things that we say and things like that that are very nice and good and everything like that. But how we view things, when we look at God's Word, do we see it as just a lot of nice things said? But is it a reality to us? Is it true to us? And we need to understand, because as looking into the Word is what the Word means. Understand this, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing. And we want to look at the integrity of God's Word as we go along, because number one, you are going to measure the Word on the basis of how you see its integrity. Its integrity, its reliability, whatever. You're going to determine. No matter whether you hear the Word, faith comes by hearing. But remember this, many people hear the Word of God and really don't go to much faith at all. They don't receive much faith from it. Why? Because of their view of the integrity of the Word. I know people that are born again for years, and, you know, nice, good people, but have very little faith in God. Oh, they'll tell you they have a lot of faith in God, but you can tell by their life and the way they live. They basically live like everybody else, just making their decisions on their own and doing their things. You watch them in life, and they go along. But really, I know this. They don't put a lot of value in the integrity of God's Word's true. We could all go around to churches here today in our community, and we go around. There's loads of churches. They'll say that they believe this Bible is the Word of God, but they believe that Word was for somebody else some other time. That's what they believe. So therefore, it's not for the day. So the integrity of that Word for us is of no value. In other words, sir, that's going to determine your belief. No more than you, however you hold the integrity of the Word, is going to determine how you can believe God. Your faith is going no further than you determining whether you hold the Word of God has integrity or not. And the measure that you set, God don't set it, you do. What is said of God's Word, we determine. You know, I determine whether I'm going to believe God's Word. He don't determine that. People can sit down and hear the same word spoken. One person determines to believe it and another one don't. Why? Is that done by God? No, it's done by us. We determine, we set the value by what we hear and what we read. We set a value on that. We do it all the time in our lives. It isn't even just God's Word. We do it all the time. You know, I heard back here, oh, it might have been maybe 2 years ago or so, they did a survey around, and I'll never forget, it was read. And I don't know if it was, I think it was read by somebody that was a minister, but I read the thing that they did this survey, and it was sort of like a, you know, a bit of a religious survey type thing, but they went from America. And they said that 80% of people in America, but it was about 80%, believe that the Bible is the Word of God. Now, when I heard that, I thought immediately, that is ridiculous. Because I want to tell you what, does 80% of people in America hold the Word of God as having integrity? My God, if you get 20%, you're lucky. You see, people can say things. Things can go out there. But you find out the integrity that people hold. I mean, people would, if the Word of God had any integrity, there wouldn't be a church in America to say homosexuality is all right. That lesbianism, that, you know, sex outside of marriage is okay. They would none of them be, no, they'd be living together is all right. That none of them would be saying that. Why? It's because they don't believe the Word of God has integrity. They are the ones, they're their own God. They establish their own morals. Most people don't realize it, but God holds most people as being their own God because they set their own standards. And they do that because of what they hold as a high integrity. They hold themselves as a high integrity and not God's Word. We're a bunch of weirdos, I want to tell you. because we hold God's word as a high integrity. This is integrity. And we hold it in a high place. And I want to tell you, this is one thing. It's like people wonder why it's like so many out here. You go around, it's hard to get to find a lot of people that think you're, you know, heading, they think you're a nut. Because especially if you hold the word of God at high integrity. Because most people today are taught and trained, you know, you make your own choices in life. You do your own thing and you do. And we decided not to do that. We decided to make our opinions based on what God said. We decided to set a standard that's based on a standard that was already put there by God. I'm going to tell you what, you're one of some of the oddest people in America. You're odd. And you need to understand that. You set it on a basis of something. You decided to say something was true, and you have established basis and principles of your own life based on that book. You've decided to do that. And see, it's because of what you hold it as integrity, of having integrity. So we're going to look at these things as we go on. One of the things I want us to do, first of all, is go over just to John, the first chapter. I want to read some familiar scriptures here to us and break in this. And 1 John, the first chapter, I want to read to you because of what John says. Because we want to look, we have to set our decision. And, you know, it's just like, over the years, I didn't start off with God's word being an integrity to me at the level it is today. It's been proven over the time. God proves it. And the more he has proved it to me, well, the more I hold it out, it's a higher and higher integrity to me because this thing works. And so it must be proven. And God, this is one of the things that God wants to prove to people. He wants his desire. But we have to look at the Word of God. And in John, the first chapter, the Gospel of John, and the first verse says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He, now we find that the Word is a He. It's a person. He was in the beginning with God. Now, when it says in the beginning with God, understand this, God really doesn't have a beginning. This is being spoken for our ability to understand. You can't think eternity. I can't even imagine eternity. It's beyond me to even think. I can't even grasp the fact that God is eternity, always was, always will be. I mean, to me, that the fact, from the standpoint, we talk about eternal life, and eternal life is not living forever. Eternal life is the life of God. But when you have God, I mean, you have life, and in you is life. And the fact that we're going to exist with God forever. You know, we think it's a big deal somebody lived 100 years old. That isn't even spit when you're talking about eternity. I mean, that's a nothing. I mean, that's like being born and dying the next day. In the light of that, or not even getting born. I mean, it's a nothing. It amounts to nothing. You know, I mean, it's just, a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. You know, that's stated in the Bible, and the whole purpose of that statement is like our thinking of one day and our thinking of God in a day is 1,000 years. In other words, God don't have a calendar on his wall. You know that? Ain't no point having one there. It's still, can you imagine how thick his calendar would be? But anyhow, but he's in the beginning, but it says this was the Word of God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him, who is the Word, was life, and the life was the light of men. The Word is the life and light of men. The Word is the life and the light of men. And now, down in verse 14, it declares specifically who it's talking about. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So it's talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He is the Word of God. So when we're talking about the integrity of the Word of God, we need to understand that we are talking about Jesus Christ himself. When people diminish the words that God spoke in this book, they diminish Jesus Christ himself. You need to understand that. When people begin to start to question the words of God in the book, we begin to question Jesus Christ himself. See, you can't do that and have faith. It'll never work. If faith comes by hearing the words of God, then in other words, faith comes by hearing Jesus Christ, as Jesus is the Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was the Creator. Everything was made by Him and for Him. There's nothing that exists. Nothing that exists that He didn't make. The Word made it. You need to understand this. When men begin to speak and believe and hold the high integrity of the Word of God and begin to believe it and speak it, if they're God's words, they'll create. You need to understand that. That's why we can have healing. That's why Jesus said to the disciples, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and you don't doubt in your heart, what will words do? What will words do? See, the church as a whole knows very little or holds to the esteem that the Word of God is. Because they, you know, you get over and, oh, you're one of these name it and claim it people. In other words, you're one of these people who make confessions. Well, I'm going to tell you what, we should be talking the Word of God. That is the only thing that has power to change things. You want to change things, you better get something on your voice other than what the doctor said. You want to change things, you begin getting the Word of God and you get it into you. Why? Because that Word is life and it's light. That Word changes things. And when you're speaking those words, when a believer speaks those words, it's just as if Jesus Christ is speaking himself. That's why Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, the Father, he'll do it. It's as if Jesus said it himself. You're speaking the Word. He is the Word. You cannot separate God's Word spoken to mankind in the Bible separated from Jesus Christ. You can't, because He's the Word and He came. He's the Word. He's the one that brought these things into the earth. He's the Creator. Everything in this world was made by Him and for Him. It was made by Him and for Him. And He gives us our Word, His Word. And so when we look at the Word, this is why it's to hold the Word of God, the place of integrity that it belongs. Jesus Christ was always the Word of God. He didn't become the Word of God one day. That didn't happen when He came into the earth. The Word became flesh. He already was. He was already in the beginning. He's with God the whole time. The Word never changed. The Word spoke into existence. The Word created this earth. You wonder why God put Him over in charge of it? The Father put Him in charge? Because it's what He created. It's what He did. And Jesus is Lord over it. The Word is Lord over it. And if you understand the Word is over it, men who believe the Word of God in their hearts and they speak in it can lord over it. Jesus, when He was in the earth, He lorded over the weather. He lorded over all kinds of things that He spoke to. He lorded it over trees. That's why He said, you can move a mountain. He told the disciples, you believe the Word, you can lord over it. Men were given a voice, and they were given the voice to lord over the earth. Adam didn't use his voice. He gave in to sin and let the devil take over and didn't use his voice. He sat back quietly, never said a thing, and ate. He didn't use his voice. If he would use his voice, the serpent would have had to bow to him because he was lord over the serpent. God put all creation under him. Gave it to him, and he did nothing about it. He didn't use his voice. We need to understand, lots of things happen to people because they never used their voice. It comes and the truck runs over them, and it runs over them because they never used the voice to stop it. Their voice has been, you just never know, it might happen to you someday. Their voice is waiting for danger. Their voice is calling in problems instead of using their voice to create a path for them down through to the future of glory. They use their voice to bring destruction. There's nothing worse than a born-again Christian who has the life and light of God in him is to speak words. There's no more thing powerful than a Christian believes words than speaks them. We have the divine Spirit of God. We have been created by that Spirit. It's the most explosive thing that's in the earth right now. More power than anybody or any beings on this earth are the Christians. And the Christians have used it to their destruction. Instead of using it to change things and bring things to the glory of God, they've used it to help the devil get his work done. Instead of being creators of light and life, much of the church world are creators of darkness. They talk darkness, believe darkness. You know, how many Christians believe, well, you know, it's all over for America, it's done. I'm going to tell you, it ain't going down without a fight. I'll tell you this right now, boys. Man, there's some preachers, I'd like to knock them out. I'm tired of their voices. I'm tired of hearing a jump. I'm tired of their stupid nonsense. They ought to read the Bible, talk about Jesus, and don't even know what he had to say. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But I ain't going down without a fight. Hallelujah. But all these words that were given to us in the Old Testament and the New Testament that were spoken directly by God, whether it was through it came directly by God or through man that God spoke through, those words were inspired and breathed through Jesus Christ into this earth. Because he's the Word of God. He is the Word of God. Hallelujah. You imagine that sitting in this earth for three and a half years of ministry, Jesus Christ went out and spoke the words of God. He was the Word of God in there. God's Word were being spoken by the one who is the Word of God into this earth. See, John G. Lake understood the fact. He said, if Jesus personally said something about a certain subject, he said, I don't consider what anybody else has to say about it. He said, Jesus is the end of the authority. It stops right there. Well, John G. Lake, ain't nobody had a miracle ministry like he had. I'm going to tell you what, that man had a miracle ministry. But the words of God held such a high authority to him. There wasn't a greater authority to him than the Word of God. He held it there. And his faith matched that integrity that he believed that the Word had. And so, I want to go there, don't you? Hallelujah. I want to go to that place. Now, when we talk about the word integrity, so does the Word of God, is the Bible, does it have integrity in these words that are spoken? But if they do, how much integrity? Now, the word integrity means this: adherence to a moral, ethical principles, soundness of moral character. Also means to be honest, a sound umpire, or a perfect condition. Now, synonyms we would use for that, they use like honesty, truth, truthfulness, honor, veracity, reliability, and uprightness. Does the Word of God, do you think it measures up to that? Does it measure to that? Do you realize most of Christianity doesn't believe it because they don't believe today that this stuff is for us, and they don't believe it. They believe, you know, that we can sin now and we don't have to, you know. They don't believe that things are wrong and right. There's no moral structure. So they don't hold the Word out there. We need to understand the integrity is a fact. If God is immoral in any way, and this is people, I never trust immoral people. I never trust a preacher who tells me, you know, you can be some kind of pervert, still be a nice Christian, a good... Well, number one, I know I can't trust him because he's immoral. He does not have integrity. And if he doesn't have integrity, it means this: I can't trust him to be honest and upright. You know how many people get in trouble all the time with other people? It's because people who don't live or walk right or believe God right, and they put their trust in them and put trust and trust them with things and to do stuff. When somebody isn't walking right, I know this, I can't trust them. Now, that doesn't mean I think they're bad or ugly and don't ever want to get around them or be touch them, you know, unclean. But I know this, there's things that you cannot rely on them upon. The reliability of the Word of God is everything, folks. If it's not reliable, it has no integrity, it has no foundation of morality. If there's no foundation of morality, there's no foundation of honesty. You need to understand this. People today criticize talking about morality. Well, a person has their own. Anybody who believes like that is a dishonest person. I'm not going to trust them with my good stuff. Because they are dishonest. The only honest people you're going to find, they have a moral structure. There's lines they won't cross. The guy who does is immoral, he'll cross lines. He'll take something from you. That's just the way it is, folks. Hallelujah. Well, it's number one in this definition and the synonyms. Can we measure Jesus Christ against that? Can we measure Jesus I tell you, he's better than the definition. He's better than the definition. He is better. So we can measure Jesus to that. If we can measure the Word of God. So if I measure, can measure Jesus to that, then I can measure the words that come from him and what he speaks. Then it has to fall in between that place. I can trust him. He's going to be honest. He's not going to do something different. He's not going to do what preachers have said. Sometimes he says yes, no. Sometimes he is. Sometimes he wants. In other words, you just never know where he stands on things. You just don't know. Whether they realize, I don't believe they understand what they're saying, but they really are saying Jesus is immoral. He's immoral. He doesn't have a moral structure that you could trust. His integrity is in question. And so they put it into question by saying, well, God's mysterious and we just don't know all that he wants to do. And that's a good way of saying, trust in somebody you ain't got a clue about. How can you trust in somebody you don't know? How can you trust in anyone? You can't have, look, we as human beings, do you think God knows that we're here on the earth? Do you think he knows what we know? Or he's sitting up there blind on this thing. And he put a system of faith in this earth and it's unreliable. It's unreliable. This faith system is to trust somebody when he knows full well we can't trust anyone that we don't know them and don't know what they'll do about things and know how they'll respond to things. And we don't have any information on them. But you trust them. I remember when I went to church as a kid, they called blind trust. And let me tell you what, they were as blind as they were talking. Because they didn't know what God had to say about a lot of stuff. Now, they weren't bad people. They were good people. But they talked about blind trust. Trust is never blind. Trust may not be able to see something right now in this realm, but it sees something. Trust. Your faith has to see your answer or you ain't got the faith yet. If you can't see your answer, because you're supposed to believe you receive it, if you ain't seen it, you couldn't believe you got it. You have to know it belongs to you and it's yours before it shows up. But you have to see the answer. Yep, that answer's mine. It just belongs to me. That belongs to mine. That's mine. Hallelujah. I remember back, you know, first time believing for a car. I believe for a car. I believe and receive it. You know, I saw a car. You know, I didn't say, well, I'm believing God for a car and I'm living in a culture and don't even know what a car is. What's a car? I ain't got a clue. I don't know what a car is. Well, I couldn't believe for, had faith for something I never saw nor knew or anything. Faith's not blind, dear Lord. So, getting that out of there. But God's Word being trustworthy. We can measure Jesus up easily to that, to those definition and to those synonyms we use there for him. He easily lines up. Now, and I'll go to Isaiah. Go to Isaiah to the 46th chapter, Isaiah 46. And in Isaiah 46, I want to read to you here scriptures, and I had them in the bulletin there, but these scriptures will really be it speaks concerning about God, speaking about his integrity, his reliability, which we want to look at here. In the ninth verse, I'm going to read from Isaiah 46, says, remember the former things of old, for I am God. There's no other. I am God, and there is none like me. He said, why? What? Nobody does what I declare the end from the beginning. Nobody, you know what I tell you? He declares, in other words, way back the beginning, the Lord had me go back and teach in the book of Genesis and reveal, go back in and look at the book of Genesis and you could see things that had to do that God did back then that are pictures and things of what's going to happen in the future. God was declaring in the book of Genesis. You need to understand, the book of Genesis has every principle of the Word of God through the entire Old and New Testament are founded in Genesis. You can find it in Genesis. You'll find the principle in Genesis. The book of Genesis has it in there. Why? God was declaring the end of what's going to happen. There's things about the end that has to do with the millennial reign of Christ, has to do with all those things, are things that are stated back in, has to do it in the book of Genesis. Things that were revealed in the book of Genesis that are types and shadows of what was to come in the future. It's amazing. Why? God does that. It says, and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. Now he says, my counsel is going to stand. In other words, what I have said. In other words, the things that God revealed from the book of Genesis that revealed to the end times is all going to be carried out. God just stated that. He's going to carry it out. So he said, calling a bird of prey from the east, he said, the man who executes my counsel from a far country, indeed, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. In other words, God said, we take, say, 100 years ago, let's say there's a man in China 100 years ago, and God spoke to him a certain thing that he would do in America in the future. God is saying, what I spoke to him, my word, it'll come to pass in America 100 years later. God's word is that reliable. God is telling you, the words that he spoke in the beginning to the will reveal things that are into the future, and God's saying, they'll come to pass, they're going to happen. Who else could do that? Who else? Well, really, there's people like us that can join him and help him do that. We can speak out future. God's given the church the ability. Now, it's his power and his words, but if men will take them, and they will take his power and his words, we can begin to speak out that future, and we can bespeak that thing. That's what he does. When men take those words of God, that's why you want to join to what the Word of God says. You want to join yourself to the Word. And you want to join yourself to what the Word says as being true, and that it's honest. His purpose, it's going to happen. I'll do it. He said, I'll also do it. This is God. God here is declaring the reliability and the integrity of his word. Is he this good? Is God this good? Is the word of God this good? See, these are words of God. This is Jesus, isn't it? The word of God. See, people turn around and say they accept Jesus as their Savior and all this stuff. They say these things. But sit and question the word and question the word and question the word. Well, maybe God don't want to do that, you know. And God said that, and that was for back then. No, I want to tell you, is God is reliable today? I mean, Isaiah prophesied the Messiah, and he came just like Isaiah said. God did it just like Isaiah said. God spoke through Isaiah, and Isaiah spoke those words, and hundreds of years later, the Messiah showed up. The book of Genesis spoke of the Messiah, the one that was going to come. In the book of Genesis, 4,000 years later, it took place. God's word's reliable. And we as believers need to walk in the light. God's word is reliable. I want you to move up to Isaiah 55. And I want to show you, because we want to look at this, the reliability of God's word. How reliable. Now in Isaiah 55, if you go down and start reading Isaiah 55, the whole Isaiah, like the chapter before 54, Israel had gotten away from God and wasn't walking with God. And God was talking about he wanted to restore glory back to them. And when we look at Isaiah 55, most ministers preach this stuff wrong. Because this is what they preach now. Because this verse 8 says this. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And ministers say, see, well, you know, we really can't think as high as God. That's not what he's talking to a people. You know, if you can't think God's thoughts and you can't understand his ways, you cannot have faith in him, because you don't know what he says or what to believe. You wouldn't know, because you wouldn't know anything. Read the New Testament. The New Testament says the things that were hidden before, and that was how God was going to bring to pass salvation for man, was hidden. It was hidden down through the ages. But it says it's not to us today. That's not hidden. See, we're not hidden. Why would it be the most stupid thing God ever did was give us the Holy Spirit? It would be the dumbest thing that he ever did if he wanted to keep things away from us. Because the Holy Spirit's job is to take Jesus or the Word and reveal it to us. So the Holy Spirit's just a hitchhiker in us. He ain't doing a darn thing. He's in there because we're not supposed to know or have the thoughts of God. We're just supposed to be a bunch of dummies and sit around and trust a guy we don't know. No, we're not. We're not a bunch of ignoramuses. Hallelujah. And our God is smart. And our God wants us to understand his thoughts and his ways. Israel got away from God. They weren't serving and walk with him. They were no longer thinking in line with the word that he gave them. They didn't do it anymore. They weren't sacrificing. They weren't doing the stuff they were supposed to do in a temple. They weren't doing those things. And he said, see, my thoughts and ways, they're not your thoughts and ways anymore. Now, he's going to go on here, and I want you to see what he's going to use. He's going to use the reliability of the Word of God. And he says here, verse 10, "For as the rain comes down and snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, bread to the eater." He says, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth." Who's the mouth of the Lord? Is Jesus Christ, the Word of God. My words are just like Jesus Christ. Is Jesus reliable? Is Jesus, does he have integrity? Hallelujah. He sure does, doesn't he? Well, he says, "But it shall accomplish." It won't turn to me void. He says, "Well, going to try. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please." My words accomplish what I please. It's not going to be void. "And it shall prosper in the things for which I send it." It's going to prosper in it. Now, I want you to understand what he did here. This principle, there's a principle that God established in creation of this earth. And if this principle is not reliable, there would not be anybody on the face of the earth today. And it's the principle of seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest is how humans are sustained with food in the earth. You could not live in the earth if seed time and harvest was not a reliable system. The reliability of planting seeds in the ground and watering them, and they grow up and produce things, if that becomes unreliable, is one thing. They tell you about, "Oh, we can go to Mars." Well, you can go to Mars, but you can't take a big enough lunch along. That's the whole trouble. We can't create a lunch big enough that you can live there. Why? Because you need seed time and harvest. If you don't have seed time and harvest, you die. And that is a founding principle. That is a spiritual principle, seed time and harvest, because it works the same in the realm of the spirit. Well, it has to be in the spirit for it to manifest in the natural, because everything that is we have in the natural has come from the realm of the spirit. The creator who is in the spirit created the natural realm. So that's why the natural realm is not eternal. The natural realm as we know it cannot be eternal, because it came out of that realm. So it's in a temporal basis here that we have it in, because it can't exist without the spiritual realm. And that's why if we don't follow spiritual principles on this side, we become destructive in this realm that we live, haven't we? Hasn't mankind become destructive? Why? Because the principles that keep this running are spiritual principles. You have to hook up to them. And when Christian ministers, I feel so far, they're always dividing the physical and the spiritual. And they'll say, "Well, yeah, God wants you to prosper." He's talking about spiritual. If you spiritually prosper, it's going to affect you in the natural. If it don't, when I got born again, I did something spiritual. I got a spiritual change on the inside. Did it change my physical life? Sure did. If you got anything spiritual and it don't help you in this life, throw it out. You didn't need it. Who cares? I'm living here in this place. I need what helps me here. I ain't living in heaven, folks. Are you? I'm living here. I want to know what principles work here in this place. And that's what God gives us. It's about here in this place where we're at. Now, those principles stand, and they stand over like seed time and harvest. That's a spiritual principle. It's the way God created things work. Hallelujah. Now, but here God spoke to man the reliability of this system that they operate in every day that they need. I want to tell you, if seed time and harvest would not be reliable, there would no way there'd be billions of people in the earth today. You know, it'd be about 750 or so, maybe something like that, running around grazing somewhere. It's the whole reason that really, there's no place you can't prosper in this earth, or you can't make it if that system don't work. People don't prosper if it don't work. It has to work. You know, you've seen. Did you ever watch any of the, you know, these like those scientific movies about the future, and you know everything's blown up and gone and all that stuff? You can't eat things, can't grow stuff because see when seed time and harvest ain't working, how do things work out in those places? Everything's tied to seed time and harvest. The prosperity of all humanity is tied to it. The prosperity of humanity is tied to that principle. Now, God teaches us how to use that thing even better than most people know how to do or operate. He teaches us how to use it to even bring more blessing to us. The scriptures teach us. But he used that principle that man could sit and know that was so reliable. It was the existence of man in the earth and how we exist here. So the Word of God, Jesus, so he compared the integrity and reliability of a system he created in the earth. And he said, his Word is reliable like that. Just as that system works. See, if seed time and harvest fail in this earth, there's no way people can go on. Couldn't do it. So since Jesus, you know, this stuff was spoken, we can go back and say like 3,000 years since the time that these things were spoken. And it's still running, and it's still working. Do you ever find a nation that's trying to grow less food? Well, I'll tell you, we don't want to have... Let's do other things. Let's just do all mining or something, and we'll just we'll eat rocks, whatever. This seed time and harvest. You look at nations with poverty and stuff. They have a problem in their areas of seed time and harvest. They have a problem with how it works and how to... They have problems with it. If you can't get that system working, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have trouble. So is to get it going. There's one thing, as I know, the amount of food that America produces, the amount that we produce out of this nation, is number one, though, but America has put a lot into it to flow in that system of seed time and harvest. Probably more money into it than any nation in the earth. Of making it work. I mean, go ask American farmers. They're not there with a hoe and a rake and a... I mean, they've invested huge amounts of money in this seed time harvest thing. America became great at it by taking a principle God laid out and taking that principle and learning to follow into that thing to hook up into that principle. And you know what? The nation prospered through that. And you find the same things that go on. So you get in nations that are in all kind of war and stuff all the time. They can't grow food. They can't, things don't work. Stuff don't work out. Seed time and harvest is how you do it. But with God taking the reliability of that system, God is turning around telling us his word, as reliable as that system he created into this earth, that man totally trusts in. How many of you go out maybe this spring? Some of you maybe start plants in your house, maybe to put outside or something. I know like the kids usually in the spring in school start doing that, put them in, and they bring their flowers home and that stuff. They put seeds in there, and all these little ignoramuses expect that thing to come up, something to come up out of the ground. My God. Most Christians, and I'm saying Christians, if we would take world in our nation wise, when people call themselves Christians, most of them have much more faith in the system than they do in the Word of God. God's system works so well that sinners plant stuff and it grows. It's how reliable it is. It's such a reliable system. It's not based. He put it in here. Do you know what? God's words will work for any man in the earth if he'll believe God's word. Is there anybody who wouldn't get saved because if they believed on Jesus Christ and confessed that he was Lord and God raised him from the dead, they believed that, they wouldn't get saved? Why? Because God's word's reliable. Just like we put a seed in the ground and we know we get enough water and stuff into that thing and it'll start growing. It'll start doing it. It just does that. That's just the way it is. And see, God is saying his word as reliable as that. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the things which I send it. Hallelujah. God sent his word. God, just the word of God was sent physically to the earth. Man, is God trying to get something across to us? Is God trying to tell us something? The reliability of the word of God. The reliability of this word. Its integrity. The honesty of this word and its integrity, its moral structure. This word, if he says it will happen, it'll happen. If he says promise something, he will do it. He didn't say, sometimes I say yes and sometimes I say no and sometimes, later. And so, he never said it. I can't find none of that in the Bible, yet most ministers preach it. Why? Because they don't hold God's word. Now, I'm not trying to criticize them saying they're bad people. They might be good people. But they don't hold God's word to the integrity. And this is why they don't see results, so they start making excuses. The only excuse that I have is I must not be believing it right. That's the only excuse I got. And you ain't got another one. You might make one up, but you ain't got it. You might take it, but you can't make one up. The word is completely reliable. It's completely reliable. The integrity of God is what that reliability stands on. And if God does not have a moral structure that you can count on that does not change, the whole thing of this, if his word changes, then he's no longer reliable. He can't be, because he's changeable. I read in some crazy book that said God changes not. Hallelujah. But I read that crazy book and I believe it. I tell you that. Hallelujah. He changes not. Why? You and I can count on the moral structure that he has set. We can count on his honesty. We can count that he will be the same. He is not going to change. If he said it, he's going to bring it to pass. It's going to happen. Hallelujah. So we must hold it at that place. Now, I want you to get something here, because I just wanted to remind you over in Luke, because, you know, sometimes I hear people, you know, are more interested sometimes in spiritual things than physical things, and we should have a great interest in spiritual things, but we need to know that Jesus understood, as living in this earth, the need for the physical. Now, Jesus made a statement. Go over to Luke, the fourth chapter. Luke, the fourth chapter, here's when Jesus was anointed the Holy Spirit after he was baptized with John. The Holy Spirit came on him, and he was taken out in the wilderness. It says, by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit took him there, and it says he fasted there 40 days, and there he was tempted. Now, in Jesus' first temptation, you know, he was 40 days and he didn't eat. And people say, well, 40 days and didn't eat. He was like, you know, this was a spiritual, you know, type of fast. No, it wasn't, because it tells you that after he was done, he was hungry. No, he didn't eat for 40 days, just like any man who didn't eat for 40, and he was hungry. If this was some kind of supernatural thing, he wouldn't have been hungry, would he? Says he was hungry. Now, so the devil came along and tempted him. And in verse 3, it says that the devil said to him, in verse 3, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. Now listen to what Jesus says. Jesus answered and said to him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. He didn't say man can live by the word of God alone, did he? He said man does, you know, we have something beside the word. Why? The principle of God set in the earth, this principle that was founded in his word of seed time and harvest, men need that too. Bread, he said, you know, we don't live by bread alone, but you don't. Jesus didn't quit eating bread after that, never needed no more bread. He just lived off the word. I've heard stupid Christians say that. I've heard we get so spiritual, we just live off the word, it'll sustain us, and say, no, you're going to die, we're going to do a funeral, tell everybody you were an idiot. Say, don't do what the dummy did, we're sticking in the ground now. And ain't much we're sticking in the ground, just bones and skin, because he quit eating and here he is. Why? Because Jesus understood in this earth, God gave us that principle of eating food to stay alive here. Because if you die physically, you don't stay here anymore. Your spirit leaves and we bury the carcass. That's what happens. And Jesus just said, you don't live by bread alone. In other words, he didn't say, I don't need it. You need to eat. You need to eat to live. Well, you need to have that. And that's the principle. Why? The same word of God that said back then and told and used the principle of this, how we get to eat and how reliable that system is the same one that said, we just don't just rely on that system in the earth to make it. We need the rest of the word of God, the rest of what he established, the rest of what he did. We need the rest of it. The word of God is nourishment to the human spirit. The life in the human spirit, you need that. See, a lot of people in Christianity today, you know, they're working, that's one of the things, the big health food craze and all that stuff. A lot of that's geared toward a lot of people who neglect themselves spiritually. They're all focused on the natural. You don't want to get all focused on the natural, because you'll become unspiritual. And a lot of the church world has become unspiritual. Because to them, the eating is the most important thing. No, the Word of God is. Because if you don't sustain the life of God in you, you'll start living in darkness. You sustain life and light inside of you. Your human spirit was created in the nature of God. It was created to be a place of light and life. That's what it is. It's the canister for it. It's out of your human spirit. The Bible says, the body without the spirit is dead. The life that maintains this outer body is your spirit. If the spirit, in other words, if your spirit becomes weak, even though you can do all you want to the outside, it's going to start affecting your outside. Because there's light and life on the inside. This is why in Paul's statement in Romans, the 10th chapter, he said the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Where does he dwell? In your spirit. What does he do? He makes alive your mortal body. In other words, the quickening power of the Holy Spirit. If you walk in darkness, the Holy Spirit can't quicken you. He ain't going to quicken you to walk in darkness. And you know what? It's going to affect your body. It'll affect your body. See, when James talked about and said that if you can control your tongue, you can control your whole body. He was talking from a speaking out of your spirit. If your tongue tied to the inner man, the place of life and light, and you're talking out of it, you can control your whole body. In other words, the source of that life, how's it get out? What you say. Jesus said, if you say to this mountain, it's what you say, it's what you're talking. It's what sets things in motion. Speaking out of your spirit. See, the Word of God is nutrition to your spirit. It's what putting on the inside. And understand this. No more than you hold to the integrity of God's Word will you put it inside of you. You won't spend time putting it inside of you if you don't think it, I could just do without it. I don't have to, I can do all right. I know enough. I could just. Well, you don't do that to your body, do you? If you did that to your body, we'd be just holding funerals, wouldn't we? I'd just have a whole week piled up of them, wouldn't I? We'd just get all of you at one time, dig a ditch, just get it over with. Kenneth E. Hagin said, he said, most Christians eat 3 meals a day and give their body, give their spirit 1 cold snack a week. The integrity of the Word. Hallelujah. There's nothing wrong with that eating, folks. But we don't want to esteem the eating and put it out there. Man doesn't live by bread only. He didn't say man doesn't need bread. Man doesn't need food. You need it. So, and this is the Word of God speaking. And the Word of God is telling us something. But just as that principle that we have used, that principle used, is so important because we follow it and we have established a world system based on seed time and harvest. Runs off of it. God said, my words, it's the same way. It doesn't operate any. You can set your whole life on this thing. Hallelujah. It'll work. It'll work for you. You can guarantee it. Every day, it'll work. The Word of God will work. It'll do what it says. What He said He will do, He's going to carry it out. Just like that seed you put in the ground and you water and it starts producing a plant. He said, my word's the same way. Glory to God. You know, I'll read a scripture to you from Numbers, the 19th chapter. 23rd chapter, verse 19. Balaam, who was a prophet of God, who got messed up and got away from what he was supposed to be doing, got in trouble. But God spoke through him and God said this through him. In Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he not said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? God's not a man that he can lie. God can't lie. It says God can't lie. Hebrews 6:19 says this, that by two immutable... Now the word immutable means not capable of or susceptible to change. Two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. It's not possible that God could say something He won't do. It's impossible. Is it possible that Ed might? Yeah. Ed's missed it at times. Is it possible with God? Never. Do you know what in the earth It's impossible for seed time and harvest not to work. It's impossible for it not to work. As long as people don't, if you change, person tries to change a condition or do something, this thing works. People have studied and found all different kind of ways to do things, but when it comes down to it, it's called seed time and harvest. That's what it comes down to. You can't change it. It works. And God's word's reliable, and God's word cannot have lie in it. Can't have it. God can't lie. It's impossible for God to lie. He can't do it. In the book of Revelation, it says this, talking about the new Jerusalem that's coming down. The new Jerusalem coming to the earth. In other words, God's kingdom reigning and ruling in the earth. It talks about this, this kingdom that's coming. Here's what we find out about. The new Jerusalem is the throne of God. That's where the throne of God is. That's where God is enthroned in the new Jerusalem. That's where he's enthroned. And it says this in 21:27, but there shall be by no means enter in it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie. I want you to understand this. God's kingdom cannot have lies in it. Or it ain't his kingdom. The book of Revelation says all liars will be cast into the lake of fire. Why? Because God's kingdom can't have lies. God can't be a liar. God can't lie. His word has to be true. He has to do what it says. People say, you can't make God do what you want, just what you want. Well, if he stated in his word, I can ask him to do it, and he has to do it, or he becomes a liar. If a man received Christ and then God didn't save him, God's a liar. God can't not save him. God don't have a choice because he will be just like the one that he called Lucifer, the father of lies. And then we'd find out Lucifer ain't the father of his lies. And God is. God's been the father of it. It is a shame. But most of the church, when they think God don't have to carry out his word, basically they believe he can lie. Well, he's God. God cannot lie. That's an impossibility. Well, they say God can do anything. Well, what do people mean when they say that? God cannot lie. And he set that by his own choice. God will not lie. God's kingdom is not founded on any lie. It is 100% reliable and it stands at the highest integrity. That is why you and I can put our faith in this system. Let me just quick read to you here. I just want to read you these scriptures here off. You can write them. They're scriptures, no, but I just want to read them off to you because these scriptures, if God's integrity or God is any kind of questioning about God's integrity and God's reliability, if there's anything along that line that we question and people can say, well, God can do this or that, then we'd have to say from John 14 and verse 13 and 14, it says, and whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. You couldn't trust to do that at all. Those scriptures would become unreliable. Those scriptures, it didn't matter what Jesus said. If there's lies in his kingdom, you can't trust what that says. If you can prove that Jesus Christ's integrity, when he spoke, he can't be a man of integrity, and that might not work. John 15:16. You did not choose me, but I've chosen you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. God called me and chose me. And I fit good to that verse. Did he lie? What about God's integrity? If we can prove that it might not be and you can't hold him to what he said he would bring to pass, then this is no good. This scripture it's not reliable. And see, this is where people have trouble. They're questioning the reliability of God because there might be another reason why he might not do what he says. Then they're trying to have faith. Your faith is always going to be limited to your view of the integrity of God. And we have God in this earth. We see him through his word. And if his word is not reliable, you're always going to have a faith problem. This is many people have faith problems because they're never assured of the word. They're never assured if the word is going to stand. John 16:23, and in that day you'll ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. That's a completely unreliable statement if the word of God has any lie to it, or he might not do it. See, if I look and say, well, yeah, he said he would do it, but you know, there might be a reason. It comes down to the trust. How far do I go? Do I believe that's 100% reliable because he said he would do it? When he said he took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses, is that really true? Is that really true? See, the church has amplified that God took your sin, and they preach it and say he did. How many preach and say he took your sickness as much as he took your sin? See, it's not preached, so it becomes an unreliable, even though it's in the word, but it's unreliable to people. By his stripes you were healed. Oh, he's talking spiritually. He can't be talking spiritually. I didn't get healed when I got saved. I became a new creation. He didn't heal an old sick spirit. He gave me a new one and killed that stupid thing that was in me that was causing me all my problems. Thank God he didn't come and just wash me up, put me back up to just go live like I was before. Hallelujah. He didn't heal me. My God, he gave me a new spirit. I became a new creation. Hallelujah. And that's what you became too. It's this dumb old dead body and sin needs healed. Hallelujah. Let's get it fixed. 1 John 5:14-15. This is what it says. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, you may not be quite sure, but maybe he might do it for you. He said, this is our confidence. John's saying this is our confidence that we have. This is confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. In other words, God hearing me is not based on the fact whether God's, where I, you know, say God's true or not. God's true and right. God said my confidence in whether he hears, when I pray, he hears me because he states it out here clearly for us. If I ask him anything according to his will, in other words, his word, anything I talk to God about his word, I know without a doubt, I never have to wonder whether he heard me. This is why people go back and pray 47 times about a lot of things, because they act like if I do this a whole lot, then finally God will listen. This is their whole problem. They have a faith problem. They have no confidence when they pray. If I pray according to his will, that's why I find out what the word says and take the word to God. Quit taking just your problem. Say, God, I got this problem, but your word says this. No, people just go and talk about the problem. They think my problem's big and bad enough, he'll feel sorry for me and take care of it. He don't take care of it on that basis. The world's full of problems and ain't none of them getting fixed. And they ain't getting fixed because that don't how you get them fixed. Without faith, you can't please God. Faith is based upon confidence. Confidence in his word. If you're not confident in his word, you're not settled with his word is true, he's not a liar, he's totally 100% reliable, and you can't speak a word against his integrity, then you're at the place of faith. But if you're not there, you haven't arisen there yet. So many people are trying to walk by faith, and they've got questions in their mind. While you still have questions on God's integrity, you can't go to the place of faith. You can't go there. You become to the place and decide this word is true. This word is true. He hears us. Now he says this. And if you know that he hears you, in other words, you have the confidence to know you ask and he heard you, now you can have step two. But if step one you ain't at, don't even go to step two. There's no point. He says, and if you know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know. It don't say, oh, we think we're praying. He said, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. We know it. Now, if God's word's unreliable, those two verses are completely unreliable. They're completely unreliable. You can't use them. And you know what? Most of the church world never uses them because they believe they're unreliable. You can't ask God anything. You can't, you know. You can't. Well, sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no. See, they don't hold the integrity of the word. God can't lie. And if he says sometimes I say yes, no, he better get it in print. And if he wants to tell me about it, he better show up. Him and at least five or six angels to try to convince me it's true, because I'm going to have to keep dragging him to the Bible. Because it ain't going to happen. He ain't going to come and say that. Because God and his word are one. The Holy Spirit ain't going to tell me something that is out of line of the Bible. He'll never do that. If he does, he's speaking against Jesus Christ, the one he's supposed to be glorifying. He can't do that. God's kingdom can't be divided. It's only divided in our minds. I tell you, we've got to get the vision out of our minds. If that's scripture too, I want you to just see this last scripture I want to read you. Mark 11, 23 and 24. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says this mountain be removed and be cast in the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believe those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever thing you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. If God's not reliable, those scriptures are worthless. God gave those scriptures to Kenneth Hagin as a foundation of faith. If those scriptures are unreliable, there is no foundation of faith. You have none. If God's integrity is in question, you can't have faith. His integrity is what holds up in our place of faith in Him. I find Him completely right. He's completely honest. If He said He will do it, He'll do it. That's it. Folks, that was the most wonderful thing, because I don't know, in my life, I just felt that before I got saved that nothing stood, that you couldn't count on nothing. Well, number one, I knew I couldn't count on me. But I found out things you couldn't. When I came to the place and listening to Kenneth Hagin's teaching, it was the most wonderful things when a revelation came to me that God's word is something that will change not. And God will always do what He said. He's 100% reliable. Folks, that so changed my life. I finally had something that was unmovable, unchangeable. Most people don't have a God. They talk about Jesus is the rock. They don't even know what they're talking about. No more than I hold the integrity of the Word of God is Jesus my rock. He is the Word of God. He never lies. He does everything He said in His Word He will do. He will carry it out. And that's why I can trust Him. That's why I can have faith in Him. I don't have to go to God. We don't go to God on the basis of my ability and how wonderful I am or what I've done. God said, He didn't say in there, I'm going to carry out my Word that I've spoken in the past. I'm going to carry out in the future because you guys did good. Man, we'd have never got the Messiah. Because man didn't do a darn good thing to get the Messiah. The nation that brought the Messiah in caused more trouble than you could shake a stick at. But God declared He was going to bring the Messiah through them, and He did it. In spite of them. And that's why when I look across America today and I say, this ain't even a challenge for God. Hallelujah. This is only a challenge for little minds and Christians with little Bibles. It's not a challenge for God, hallelujah, because His Word stands forever, hallelujah. It cannot be changed. If He said it, it's going to be done. Just hide and watch. Glory to God. Well, one of the best things it is be in tune with it. Because when we're in tune with it, then there's blessings that go along with it. Hallelujah. And that's why you want to walk in tune with believing what God said and what He's bringing to pass. And you want to walk, because you want to be a participant in it. Because the participants are always blessed. The doer of the Word is always the blessed guy. The doer of the Word is always the blessed person. So you want to believe it. You want to walk along and say, there's things that the Lord spoke to me years ago that He is going to do. He hasn't even done them yet. But back when I was in the beginning of my Christianity, He spoke about my end. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you what. It'll come to pass just like He said it's going to happen. If not, He lied. He can't lie. That's an impossibility. It's an impossibility. He can't lie. He's a truthful God, and that's the most wonderful thing. You can trust Him. Whatever you're dealing with, whatever's going on in your life, you find what the Word says about that thing and you stand on what the Scripture says. God can't lie. He's going to have to do it. That's why I talked to you guys about praying. We need to get the Word in the face of God. That's what He wants. He said, my Word doesn't return to me void. He didn't say your crying and wailing and squalling don't return void. He said, my Word don't. You get your Word. Say, God, You said in Your Word. So I've been preaching about prospering and being in health. See, these are the principles of it. This is why we can prosper. God wants you to have money in your pocket. God wants you to be able to be blessed and have things. He wants us to do that. Hallelujah. He doesn't want to have us spending our lives just going around trying to get stuff. He wants us to be able to do His will. When you got stuff, you can do His will. You know, You know, God will give you enough money. You can go do His will and go do something and don't have to sit around. I can't afford to miss a day of work because, again, man, even every paycheck I get just to try to get by and I'm just trying to make it. God doesn't want that. That's not the plan of God. Why? Because you're just tied to that. That's all you are, is just tied to something. He doesn't want that. You're like God invented poverty or something, and you know, He wants all the poor people. What are the poor people? They spend their whole life just trying to take care of themselves. That's all they do. God can't send a poor guy to Egypt, can He, to minister, can He? No, He can't even afford the plane ticket there. Somebody else don't do it for Him. God wants to bless you. He wants to do something for you. He wants you to be healthy. He desires for you to have health. Why? If you're healthy, the devil can't steal your money. I'm going to tell you what, it gets expensive going to doctors, don't it? Hallelujah. God wants us to be healthy. Hallelujah. Why? It keeps money in your pocket. I'm not against doctors. My words, I mean, even it's true. We've given people money to help them. You know, they need medicine or something. We've done already and things and stuff. But, you know, wouldn't it be better to just be well and have the money in your pocket? These are the things that God wants. God wants you well. That's why Jesus took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Isaiah said that. Well, if you could prove that ain't right by Isaiah and ain't for us, well, then the rest of what I read today from Isaiah ain't for us either. So we can't sit around and play these religious Christian games on this, dividing, oh, I'll accept this is for today and that one's not, and this is for that, and this is going through that nonsense. If you do that, you're always going to be faithless. I'll tell you, don't listen to those faithless preachers. I'm not trying to be mean to them or anything. I'm just telling you, you got to watch what you listen to because you're going to end up eating what you should have never eaten, and you're going to have it in your life, what's in your spirit, just like what you put in your stomach. You put the wrong thing in your stomach. You put something tainted in your stomach. You might be hanging on the toilet for a while. And you put wrong things in your spirit, and spiritually you're going to hang and live in the toilet. Good preaching. Hallelujah. Don't go there. God has a plan for you. And God's plan is His best, not something on the side that's a get-by thing, just to give you enough and just to hope you'll make it. I'll tell you the scriptures that I read there at the end. Our Christian life and prayer and confession is based on these scriptures. And if God's integrity is in question, those scriptures become throwaways. If those scriptures are thrown away in Ed's life, I don't know what I'm going to do about Christianity. Because it ain't going to do me any good to go pray. It ain't going to do me any good because I can't count on nothing. It's all hit and miss. Folks, do you realize that most Christians out here in churches today, they really operate in a hit and miss system. Most of them out here, that's what they're doing. It's a hit and miss system. They don't know if God's for them or against them. They don't know if God's trying to kill them for a purpose. They don't know if He's made them sick for a purpose. They don't know. And those scriptures that I read, there ain't things that they can stand on that they would actually believe they were. Oh, they'll have those scriptures read to them. And it's like those things, it's like, you know, sitting down reading the letter and seeing the guy say, I hope you're all doing good. And how you? When it was just a nice introduction, they didn't even pray to it. I pray you're doing well. They never prayed for you for 2 seconds. But they'll put that on there, just a nice heading. That's no more than the scriptures are for a lot of people. They're just nice. These are nice little things said that are really good to make us feel good. No, I'm going to tell you what, these things are made to change your life. These things are made, these are God's word, because God wants to bring His word to pass in your life. That's His desire. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we just thank You this morning. We thank You for the light and life of God. And we want to thank You that Your word stands true, Lord God. Father, You are the God that could never lie. Hallelujah. You tell the truth. Lord God, these are Your people. And Lord God, how could they possibly ever trust You, Lord God, if You don't hold Your word up, Lord God, with honesty and integrity? Where would it be? But Lord God, they have faith in You. Because You're totally trustworthy. You're totally upright. You would never, never say something You were not ready to carry out and do. You would never do such a thing. Hallelujah. You're not a man that You would lie. Hallelujah. And I want to thank You, Father. Father, we look to You today in our trust and our confidence, not based upon, Lord God, our goodness, our greatness. You never ask us to ever approach on that ability. You never said if we do everything right, then we can come to you boldly. You never said that. You never said if we just did everything perfect, or, you know, we just did it all, you know. Then, Lord God, that would be a stench in your nostrils for us to come to you and declare our righteousness. Lord God, I have a righteousness, but it was one given to me by you. Hallelujah. You gave me your righteousness. I didn't even earn that one, Lord God. You gave it to me. It was a gift on receiving Jesus Christ. And I want to thank you, Father God, for that. And Father, as we approach you today, we approach you, Lord God, as the great and gracious one, the kind and merciful, the Lord who is good and mercy endureth forever. You're the one that we approach. We approach you as the one whose word changes not. And your word goes out. It's just like it says in the scriptures that you even spoke to Israel. Your plan for them was for good. Your plan was to bless. That's your plan for us. Lord God, when men don't get blessed, it's because they got out of the plan. But Lord God, we're trusting in your plan. Hallelujah. You have good plan. Hallelujah. Just like Gaius, there was good plan for Gaius to prosper and be in health. So, Lord God, you plan for us to prosper and be in health. Hallelujah. And I thank you, you're renewing our minds, Lord God, that the Word of God is getting into us more and more. And Lord God, we just think you're better and better every day. Hallelujah. We just look to you. Oh, there is none like you. You're so great. You're so wonderful. Lord God, our trust today is in what your Word says. And Lord God, your Word is founded because it's Jesus Christ Himself. He is the living Word. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. And we want to thank you, Lord God. There's no liar lording over us. There's no liar running over. Hallelujah. 100% truthful, honest. A Savior and a Lord who deserves to be head of the church. Hallelujah. The glorious Savior, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for it. And the words of God stand today. And the life and light of that Word is working mightily into us today. And Father, I want to thank you that light and life that is in us is working on our minds today in the name of Jesus. I thank you. Our minds are being enlightened today. Hallelujah. Our thinking's becoming clear and straight. Straight as an arrow, Lord God. Hallelujah. That when that arrow's shot, it goes directly on the target. Our minds are going directly on the target in the name of Jesus Christ. The light and the life is keeping us straight from the Word of God. Hallelujah. We will not fail. The good work that you started in us, you will bring it to completion because we will believe the Word and walk in the Word and live the Word. And the Word will always work for us. Hallelujah. And Lord God, every time we come to you in accordance to your Word, you hear us. Hallelujah. And Lord, we know and have the confidence that if you hear us, we have what we ask. Hallelujah. It belongs to us. It's ours because it's declared from your Word and you cannot lie. Hallelujah. That's our God. Glory to God. And if we ask the Father anything in your name, Jesus, He will do it. You said so. You cannot lie. Hallelujah. And I want to thank you, Father God. Oh, you're the God who wants to, more than anything, take care of us, look after us, Lord God. Bless our lives, hallelujah, and bless others through us. And we thank you, Father God, for it in the name of Jesus Christ. And the only reason it all works is because your Word's true. And your Word is righteous. And your Word is holy. Hallelujah. And it's honest. Hallelujah. And it's unwavering and unchanging. Hallelujah. I thank you for that today, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.